There it is. You guys get a treat tonight to hear from a few of our seniors that are going to be graduating, unbelievably. We're excited. This next 2 weeks, tonight and next week, by the way, next week is our last Shoreline, so you want to make sure that you make that, invite friends, all that good stuff. But tonight we're going to, I thought we would end our year like we have in years past with a little two-week series called Lessons Learned. And I want you guys to hear just a little bit from some folks who've, maybe if you're a freshman or sophomore or junior or whatever, these folks have been, you know, a couple or three or 1 year ahead of you. And they'll have some things just to share kind of what God's taught them. And so we're going to bring those folks up, Connor Price and Josh Kane and Grace Adams. You guys can give them a round of applause. Grace, you can sit in the middle. Josh, why don't you sit on that side and Connor come over here. And we just thought that, again, this is one of the best things that we believe is that students best reach students. And all the people that are investing in you guys, the leaders that are investing in you, we believe that the reason we want to invest in you is so that we can entrust that to you and you'll go and share that with others, what you've learned, how God's grown you, and that kind of thing. So I'm going to turn it over to Connor here, and then Grace, and then Josh. Here's Connor.
Hey, you guys. My name's Connor Price. I go to TCA, senior. I'm going to A&M next year. Gig'em. God laid it on my heart tonight just talk to you all about community and what that's meant in my life. And I like to start off with a verse from Hebrews. It's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it says, be sure to, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you as you see the day approaching. I'll give you a little story of my life. I wasn't really a Christian. I mean, a lot of y'all knew me before through Watermark, but I wasn't really a Christian until after my sophomore year, and I was struggling with what I listened to, what I looked at, what was constantly on my mind. And after I became a Christian, I got really strongly involved here and just really tried to grow as best I could. And I went to small group every week, but that small group wasn't a real community. That small group was more of a fake community of people because we wouldn't open up. We wouldn't discuss what was going on in our lives, really. We would just come every week, get in the Word, and get out and not really care what each other was struggling with and doing. So no one really prayed for each other. No one really cared as deeply about each other as we should have. And because of that, my walk stumbled. I just continued going down a path that was just leading me away from Christ, leading me back to the life that I lived before I became a Christian. And then this year hit, and we had a small group with four or five new people, and we started opening up. That's like, I've known Josh Kane since my freshman year, but he and a couple other guys from TCA joined the small group, and they started opening up and sharing what they were struggling with. And everyone that caused everyone else to open up and share what was wrong in their lives. And it took us a while. I mean, there are guys in there that have been there since sixth grade, but now they're finally opening up and saying, hey, this is what I need prayer for. And because of that, our group has grown together and grown stronger and really boost each other towards Christ. I mean, the other day, as the Satan was continuing to tempt me, Josh sent me a text message because I texted him the night before and was like, hey, I'm struggling, can you pray for me? And he sent me 1 Peter 5:8-9. It says, be self-controlled and alert. The enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And that was really comforting to know that another brother in Christ was going through hard times, and I wasn't the only one that had to suffer, and I wasn't suffering alone. And as Bron said, this series is called Lesson Learned, and kind of my call for y'all is to really go out and, I mean, most of us here are in small groups, but when you're in that small group, to really, really open up, really share what's going on, because the only way that you can really develop as a Christian is through that community. And I mean, at Watermark, we all throw the word community around really loosely, and I mean, it's a big word here. And if we really know what a community is, it's a group of people who are diving into each other's lives and know everything about each other's lives. And it's hard. I mean, it took us, I mean, we just had a small group about 3 weeks ago where Chad wasn't going to be there. Chad Crane's our leader. And he asked me if I could lead it or something. So I got there, and I opened up with what I was struggling with that week, and so did Josh. And then I kind of went around the group and asked everyone what they were struggling with, and everyone just opened up, and people were sitting there, and people that hadn't talked all year pretty much were opening up and being like, this is what I need prayer for. And just the power of us all praying is just helping each other. And Chad and I were talking before about the power of prayer and how he has a friend that will consistently pray for something that, and just miracles will come true that you wouldn't think were possible. So just opening up and allowing people to pray for you can work wonders in your life. And that's my story today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Grace Adams. I go to Lake Highlands. And I just wanted to share kind of my journey through high school as well. I went to Providence Christian School through 8th grade with like everyone else. And I was the only girl from Providence that went to Lake Highlands, so I was all alone. Not to throw a pity party for myself, but it was hard 9th grade year, just getting acclimated, and a lot of people I knew went to popularity to get that or went to boys, but I was kind of different. I went to my athleticism and academics. I am a runner, I still am, and I just, I was solely focused on just my academics and my running, my fitness, and I kind of, all through high school, I've kind of kept that as my secret idol where I haven't I have community all around me, but I'm not letting people help mold me in that one area of just perfectionism and just wanting to be this ideal image that I have set for myself. And it started, I guess, in 9th grade, just believing the lie that I wasn't worthy alone in my own worth as a child of God. If you look in Genesis 3:1-3, this is Eve talking to the serpent. Let's see. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." And what's happening here is God did say that you must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, but he didn't say you can't touch it. And she took something that was good in itself, and then she perverted it, which is what I did with academics and fitness and stuff. I took something that's, it's good to be healthy, it's good to excel in school, but I made it an idol. And it's still a struggle for me, for sure. So it started with me just believing that lie that I didn't have worth in my, you know, as my standing as a believer. And then I began to rationalize that. I would say, oh, well, I have people all around me, you know, it's okay if I don't tell them the nitty gritty stuff, you know, oh, well, I mean, I'm just doing well in school. Everyone thinks I'm doing great. And I just started isolating myself in this one area, even though I always thought of isolation as like you're completely alone and you're depressed all the time, but that wasn't how it was for me. I just like in this one area wasn't being open with people about it. And finally this year I told a lot of people generally, you know, oh, this is what I struggle with, you know, just kind of the general thing. But this year with one of my Young Life leaders at school, we meet on a weekly basis, and she's just been kind of like my accountability partner, and it's been really encouraging because, I mean, you need one person, as Connor was saying, like in your life that you tell the, you know, the nitty gritty to, not just these nice sounding generalizations of, oh, I struggle with such and such, because you can't grow through that. And my struggle with perfectionism is still a daily struggle. And Luke, let's see, Luke 23, sorry. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It's a daily decision to whether you're going to choose to live in the flesh, choose to live with what you're comfortable in, or if you're going to live by God's standards. And it's so hard for me because some moments I'll be doing great, but then other moments I just feel this compelling desire to follow what comes innately to me. And just a moment by moment thing, being like, God, I am so, like, even while we were singing worship songs, my mind started like drifting about all the stuff I have to do tonight. And I just had to be continually like, God, refocus my mind. Like, it's a moment by moment thing. And I don't know, with my struggle, I feel sometimes I get mad at myself and I'm like, why can't it just go away? Why does it have to keep burdening me, even though I'm open with it about others now and I have people around me? But Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 about his thorn. I don't think we know exactly what it was, but it was his thing he struggled with that just really burdened him. In 12:7, it says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" And I love that verse. I have always concentrated on the, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." But the part right before there, it says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, take my struggle away from me. You know, Paul's just asking for that. But that's not what God wanted. God was able to use Paul's struggle to reach out to others. And I've been able to do the same, go, oh my gosh, I struggle with the same thing. Let me share where I am right now, where I have been, and where I hope to be a couple months down the road. And then also just most importantly, personally, you know, to keep me humble. You know, we all have stuff that is, whether it's people pleasing, whether it's an addiction to substance, whatever it is, we all have these, you know, struggles. And it's just really important to realize God is using those not to make you weak, but to make you refocus your eyes, and that your strength is from Christ alone. So just, I encourage all of y'all, as I'm attempting to do myself, is just cling to the Lord and don't disregard your struggles. I did that for a long time, thinking, oh, I don't have a boyfriend, I don't struggle with, you know, alcohol or things that I once deemed as worse or, you know, whatever. But, you know, each struggle is unique to the individual, but share that with others and just cling to the Lord during that. Don't keep it up its side and isolate yourself. Just really cling to Christ alone through that.
Hey, guys. My name is Josh Kane. I go to Trinity Christian with Jason and those guys over there. And I'm headed to Texas A&M next year. Giggle. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about my life and just kind of what God's taught me in my time at Trinity. I've gone to Trinity since I was in kindergarten. I've been there a really, really long time. I've got 2 weeks left there. I love Trinity. My struggle and my testimony is one of just trying to justify myself before the eyes of the Lord, and just trying to, you know, do enough good things, show up to enough Bible studies, you know, go to church enough to look good so that others might think that I was in some way or another a good Christian. And if I could just, you know, press anything on you, you younger guys in here as you go through high school, is just to think past that and just to realize how much God loves us, and just that in our struggles, like Grace said, that, you know, we are, you know, Christ is made perfect. His love can work. I just wanted to read something out of 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And that's just something that's really stuck out to me. Chad Crane, who, if y'all don't know, he's a stud. He's sitting back there. He doesn't want to be called out right now. But he calls it the upside-down kingdom, in that God uses the weak. And when we are most unlike the character of God, that's when he works most perfectly. In that when we are weak, when we are humble, when we let his light shine into our lives, that's when he's gonna, his love shows up best, when we let him. And if I could just, you know, if y'all get anything out of this, if I could just press that on y'all, that, you know, just how much God loves us, and just how his, just how great and what a fulfillment it is to be loved by God, is just an awesome, awesome thing. And then in Galatians 1:22, Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, and he says, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. And that's my hope for all of y'all, and for myself included, that that even though we have our struggles, and, you know, we are weak and we need God, that people, that if we allow God to use us, that he will, and people will praise God in that, as Paul did. If I could just show you guys that, that would be a blessing to me. And so, can I?
That's just the way I would end it, Josh. And so, I'm kidding. Hey, thank you guys. Let's give them another round of applause for these guys sharing. You know, the last thing that I would share with you guys can head on out. So, you know what? I was just thinking as they were sharing that my hope for them, and the reason why leaders have invested in their lives, is because we want them to go do the same thing. And I would love for, I was thinking as the guys were sharing, I'd love for my son to be discipled by guys like that who love Christ and would say, man, I'd love to invest in you. And so here's our heart. When you leave here and you go to college, and even before, those of you who are younger classmen, boy, we want to encourage you, man, be about others, be about investing. You heard a real clear message tonight about community, how important it is. You also saw people who are going to God's Word when they're sharing with you, because it seems to be a part of their life, something that they're in the book. And so, boy, if you go, man, I'm not doing very good, don't beat yourself up about it. Just begin tonight, tomorrow. And so if we want to encourage you again, if you're not in a small group with us or in a small group somewhere, we don't think our small groups are magic, that just Watermark has only the good small groups, but that may be true. No, I was kidding. No, we just want you to be discipled. We want you to be in lives with other people who know you. And so if we can serve you in that way, we want to do that. So just know that. Let me give you a couple of, just reiterate a couple of announcements. The Mexico trip that's coming up, that is a great chance. If you want to get an opportunity to know people at a deeper level and get closer to some folks in this student ministry and here, this is a really bonding trip, and you ought to go with us. I want to encourage you again, if you haven't really looked at it, the 9th through the 16th, it will be a great great week with us, and we would love for you to go. So really, next Sunday is when you need to have your money and your form turned in. You've already missed one meeting that was today, and we can make that up. That's not a big deal, but we would really encourage you. Join us this summer. We've got plenty of spots still left if you want to come with us. We'd love that. Next slide is baptism. If you guys, it is not too late for you to come and tell us that you'd like to be baptized. The only thing that I can think of that I told you this last week that maybe, hold on. The only thing I can tell you that I could think maybe a reason why you wouldn't is maybe there's some part of you that feels